Pemberton football news. Welcome to the Golden Black Radio pregame show as we get you set for Saturday's kickoff. Now here's your host, Kyle Chartus.
The Boilermakers look to stay undefeated in a Saturday game in Ross-Ade Stadium, but to do so, they'll have to beat an undefeated opponent in Northwestern. Kyle Chartus, along with Tom Deanhart, Brian Newbert, and Alan Carpet, the staff of goldandblack.com for Gold and Black Radio. A pregame show as we get set for Purdue and Northwestern. All right, Tom, big game on Saturday, huh? This is the biggest one, you know, outside of season openers, you know, things of that nature. This is a, you know, an actual big time, big game in Ross-Ade Stadium.
Yeah, this is what I've been saying. Maybe you'll agree or disagree with me, Kyle. The biggest sense Ohio State came to Purdue in 2007, the Buckeyes were 4, the Boilermakers were 23-5-0 that night. Ohio State won 23-7. Purdue fell out of the rankings, Kyle, and has not been back in the rankings since then. I mean, that was a big game that night. I'm sure you were there. Not sure if you agree with me, but again, I think you have to go back 13 years to find maybe a game as big as this one.
Yeah, that might be accurate. Like I said, you know, outside of games that were big for, you know, specific reasons, Ohio State a couple of years ago with Tyler Trent and all of that, and, you know, the opener with Jeff Brohm against Louisville and, you know, all that. But those were, you know, particular instances. A game that, like, had significance in the Big Ten race.
Yeah.
I think maybe you're right. You go back, and that game against Ohio State in 2007, I mean, come on. It was 23-7. It might as well have been 90-3, right? I mean, Purdue was not in that game. Yeah. It was not going to compete. I would expect that we see a better contest against Northwestern on Saturday. I don't know what I don't know what to feel about the Wildcats, though, really, either. And I'm not sure I know yet completely what Purdue is.
Yeah, Northwestern, I think, it's to me, it's a typical Pat Fitzgerald team, Kyle. Not real pretty, tough, physical on both sides of the ball. Pedestrian offense that largely wants to punch you in the nose with a strong ground game. And this team, Kyle, hangs its hat on its defense. Very, very good defense. Mike Hankowitz, longtime coordinator. Kyle, Northwestern, if you can believe this, has yet to allow a point in the second half in any of its 3 games this year. So, again, excellent linebacking core, Patty Fisher, you know, Blake Gallagher. Again, this is, again, like I said, not a pretty Northwestern team, but a team that's going to bring you down to its level and punch you in the nose, and it's going to be in right into the fourth quarter.
Yeah, Patty Fisher taking the Jess Settles route to 100 years at the school that he's at. It feels like he's been there forever. Yeah, really good defensively. It's interesting when you look at Northwestern's offense. Peyton Ramsey has settled down that quarterback position, but he hasn't really done anything spectacular. I mean, he's playing efficient, but, man, it's been that run game averaging more than 200 yards per game, including him. He runs the ball a little bit too, but, you know, he has Ramsey – just sort of solidified what they're doing offensively when it was just, you know, sort of a mess last year.
Now, you're being kind just to call it a mess last year. It was an abomination on offense for Northwestern. They finally changed offensive coordinators. Their fan base had been yelling for years to make a switch there. Mick McCall's out. Mike Bajakian has been brought in. There's some life to that offense, Kyle. And a lot of that life has to be attributed to Peyton Ramsey's arrival, of course, from Indiana as a graduate transfer. He's a coach's son, a heady player, like you said, not going to win the Heisman Trophy, but is a dual threat who you have to account for throwing the ball and running the ball. One problem with this offense, while he's helped it, Kyle, there still isn't a lot of big play potential there. Uh-huh. Didn't have their top running back last week, Isaiah Bowser. Their best wide receiver, Riley Lees, isn't going to keep defensive coordinators awake at night. So, again, if Purdue, Kyle, can get on top of this team, get a lead, make Peyton Ramsey throw that ball over 25 times, you got to like Purdue's chances.
Yeah, the Boilermakers 2-0, but you get the sense that, you know, Purdue has not yet played its best game, and it's coming off a bye week, you know, unexpected bye week, but a chance to get better here over the last week going into this big game on Saturday, where do you think Purdue can, you know, even though it's 2-0, where do you feel like Purdue can get better on Saturday?
I think, you know, defensively, if you look at the numbers, the pass defense and the rush defense statistically haven't been great, but the two things Purdue has done well on defense, Kyle, they're generating turnovers. And they're just not allowing a lot of points. I think they're fourth in the Big Ten in points allowed per game. Again, their turnover margins are positive for the first time since 2017. But still, I think they can get better on defense, especially when it comes to rushing the passer. Now, of course, that task gets complicated with George Karloftis' status being very murky. Got to think he's probably not going to play after getting hurt at Illinois. So, again, defense still has some things to prove. And offensively, I still think, Kyle, you know, if you're Purdue, you want a little bit more of big playability yourself on that side of the ball. David Bell's been able to get downfield a little bit, but Jeff Brohm's offenses, as you know, really strive and really thrive when they can get those quote-unquote chunk plays.
And need to be better in the red zone, too. I think just 7 scores and 10 trips in the red zone, just 5 of those touchdowns. That percentage not as high as what Purdue would want either. You mentioned Karloftis. Rondell Moore, of course, has not played this year. If you were to handicap those guys, which do you feel like has a better chance to go on Saturday?
I think George Karloftis is probably out. As far as Rondell goes, this has become a weekly ritual, hasn't it? Will Rondell play? Will he not play? I'm still leaning toward not seeing him. I'm not basing that on any inside knowledge. Just a feel, Kyle. Maybe he still doesn't feel healthy with a hamstring. Maybe it's an issue with his insurance carrier. I'm not sure what's going on there. Again, Jeff Brohm is not providing any real details either. So one thing this does do, Kyle, all the opponents still have to continue to prepare as if number 4 is going to play. So I guess that's one thing Purdue has going for him is that weekly unknown if Moore is going to play or not.
Much more to go on the show as we break down Purdue and Northwestern. We'll talk to Brian Newbert to get his perspective on the first couple of weeks. Alan Karpik will bring us news from the Big Ten. We'll predict a couple of games there. Also, his historical view of this matchup on Saturday. But coming up next, Tom's conversation with Louis Vacare. We'll have that after the break and this weather update from WLFI's Annie Brown.
Hey, Kyle. Yes, weather will play a big role in Saturday's game against Northwestern. Rain looks to move in for the second part of the day, starting off more isolated and then becoming more widespread shortly after kickoff. There will also be some isolated thunderstorms, along with periodic heavy downpours throughout the entire game. Winds will also be an issue, driving out of the south-southeast, sustained around 15 to 20 miles per hour with periodic gusts 25 to 35 miles per hour. At kickoff, temperatures will be in the lower 50s, but by halftime dropping into the 40s. Keep in mind those wind chills will make it feel 5 to 10 degrees off of the actual temperature. Hopefully the Boilermakers are working more so on their run game, and as a viewer, not the worst game to sit back and watch indoors. Back to you, Kyle.
Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today. This podcast is brought to you in part by JFQ Lending. With interest rates below 3%, there has never been a better time to lock in a low fixed interest rate on your mortgage. You'll never need to think about refinancing again. Sit it and forget it. And with JFQ Lending, you're guaranteed to get the highest level of customer service. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and more than 3,000 five-star reviews. Give Kyler Compliment a call today at 323-607-8802 or email Kyler directly at kcoppelman, that's K-K-O-P-P-E-L-M-A-N, at jfqlending.com. JFQ Lending Incorporated, equal access lender, licensed in more than 40 states, www.jfqlending.com. Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard-to-shop and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's grill. Visit gridironmetal.com.
It's time to break it down as we go in-depth about Purdue's opponent.
Pleased to be joined by Louis Vacare, the publisher of Wildcat Report on the Rivals Network. Louis, I can't think of many people on the planet that know more about Northwestern sports than you. That's why we have you on. The Wildcats are coming to West Lafayette, buddy. Big ball game, and let's start with the offense for Northwestern. Tell Purdue fans maybe what they could expect from that NU offense on Saturday.
Yeah, as you know, the Northwestern's offense has given me a little concern the last couple weeks. You know, they opened up against Maryland, and it was unbelievable. 537 yards of offense. They scored 43 points, and it was like something we hadn't seen in a few years. You know, people were real excited. But last couple weeks, it's been a little tougher go. You know, they had Iowa. They put up 21 points. They ran the ball 60 times, only got 143 yards, you know, 2.4 yards a carry, but they made it stand up somehow. And then, again, Saturday against Nebraska, they kind of got themselves in a little bit of a hole, but they, you know, did just enough to win. Again, they got outgained, but, you know, they do what they have to do. And Peyton Ramsey, you know, he had two interceptions in the first half, came back in the second, threw two touchdowns, and came back and won the game for him, played much better in that second half. So that's something I think they'll hang their hat on a little bit going into this week.
You said you had some concerns about the offense for Northwestern. Why is that?
Well, they just haven't moved the ball too consistently. You know, like I said, against Iowa, you know, they ran the ball down their throats all day, but, 2.4 yards a carry, and they had 14 play and 16 play drives for touchdown. They just grinded it out. And part of that was because it was a windy day in Iowa City. They got down. They had those couple turnovers early. They put themselves in a 17-0 hole, and I think, Fitz wanted to hunker down, do what we do best, and pull out the game. And then Saturday, too, you know, they went first drive. They went 80 yards for a touchdown, looked fantastic. Drake Anderson had a 41-yard touchdown run. And then the rest of the game, they didn't do much. You know, the rest of the half, they didn't do anything. And then the second half, they put some things together a little bit. So, you know, I just think it's just because of that first week they looked so dynamite, and it was so wonderful to see after years of struggling on the offensive end. But they've got to be a little sharper offensively, because they're going to have to score some points, I think, to beat Purdue.
Defensively, that seems to be where Northwestern's hanging its hat. Coordinator Mike Hankowitz doesn't get much better than the old sage D.C. for Northwestern. What could Purdue fans expect to see from that NU defense?
Yeah, they've been dynamite this year, you know, and they're going to win with defense, you know, and everybody's excited about the new offensive coordinator, Mike Bajakian, and Peyton Ramsey, a quarterback, greatly improved there, but they're still going to win with defense. They're going to run downhill. They're going to, you know, control the clock, pound you on the ground, and then win the game with their defense, because they've been lights out. They have yet to surrender a point in the second half this season, which is pretty impressive. And the thing that they're doing this year is they're turning the ball over. Last year they had 7 interceptions all year. They've got 8 already this season. You know, and you look against Nebraska Saturday, Nebraska had 6 trips into the red zone and scored 13 points. You know, they get tough around the goal line, and they got the interception in the end zone and another one on the 2-yard line. You know, they came up with the plays when they had to, and won the game for them.
Okay, Louis, last question. How do you see this game unfolding on Saturday night, primetime BTN, buddy?
Yeah, this is a big one. You know, it could be it's certainly for the early driver's seat in the West. You know, we'll still see what happens with Wisconsin. But I think it's going to be a tight game. I think, Northwestern always plays those close games. You know, that Maryland game was an anomaly. You know, they usually have a pretty slim margin for error. I think they're going to try to run the ball, keep Purdue's offense off the field, and then win it with defense. I think it'll be, you know, something around 24-21, 27-24. I think I would give the edge. I haven't done my homework yet on Purdue, Tom, so it's early, you know. I think Northwestern can pull this one out.
Well, I appreciate the insight very much, Louis, and we'll see what happens Saturday night in Ross-Ade Stadium. As you said, a very big ball game, my friend. Thank you very much.
Thanks for having me, Tom. Appreciate it.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross, incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa. Not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
If you're looking to list or buy a home in Greater Lafayette, Tippecanoe County, or the surrounding counties, give me a call at 765-412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com. Part of the Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, we can offer a specialized marketing plan with photos, video tours, and more to help you sell your house while getting you in your next dream home. Contact me at kyle@chartersteam.com. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill. Industrial and classic, the restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event in the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Purdue football is back, and it's time to put your best game face on. Nobody has a better selection of Purdue apparel in stock than Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey, or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike Sideline Gear, Tommy Bahama, Peter Millar, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Show your team spirit for the most anticipated season in years. Shop online at FollettsPurdue.com. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945.
Broadcasting from Golden Black World Headquarters, north of Purdue's campus, this is the Golden Black Radio Pregame Show.
All right, let's bring in Brian Newbert, get his perspective on the Boilermakers 2-0, their bye week last week, and headed to play in Ross-8 against Northwestern on Saturday. A couple of teams that are undefeated, maybe not the two teams that we expected to be undefeated here in week four in the Big Ten West, but Purdue will certainly take it. Northwestern will too. Brian, Tom, and I were talking earlier about Big Ten games of like actual consequence, like in terms of the standings. And you've got to go back. We thought that 2007, when Purdue played Ohio State, the Buckeyes won that game by 16. It might have 12 been 100. Purdue didn't feel like they were really in it. But it's been a while since Purdue played in a game that had some consequence to the standings. I mean, it used to happen every week, and it hasn't for about a dozen years. This will be a different experience.
Yeah, I think whoever wins this game can kind of credibly say they might be the front runner in the Big Ten West, because, you know, Wisconsin's season is kind of on the ropes here. Everybody else has losses. It doesn't look like Nebraska's any good. Iowa's already got two losses. I know it's really early in the season, but a 3-0 Big Ten West start, for Purdue would be a pretty considerable cushion here. It is a big game. I mean, when you look at games of significance in the Big Ten, I think the opener at Purdue a couple of years ago against Northwestern was one Purdue put a lot of emphasis on. That wasn't necessarily related to standings, but that was a big game nonetheless. Purdue's been out of this mix forever, for a good decade plus in terms of being relevant in Big Ten standings. You mentioned the game in 2007. The first game that came to mind to me was the game against Wisconsin many, many, many years ago. That's how out of sight, out of mind Purdue contention in Big Ten standings is. So yeah, this is a really big game. It's crazy to think that you're only 4 weeks into the season, whatever it is, and you're already playing in a game this relevant to the standings, but that's the reality of it. And I mean, something to be said here too is any cushion you can build in the standings insulates you against the unknown. And there's going to be a lot unknown here the rest of the way. What's to say there aren't more games missed that knock people out of the standings? Purdue is not immune to that either. They've already missed one game because of this. It's just going to be a wild, wild year. So you get every win you can get, and hope for the best from there on out.
Yeah, it almost feels like you're battling on two fronts, right? You're battling to get your team prepared to play games and then, you know, playing in those games. But also, it's like you got one hand, you know, sort of stiff-arming COVID at the same time, right? Where you're just trying to keep it away.
That's what I said many, many months ago, where it's like, if there's football this year, there's victory in just playing. Mm-hmm. And the results might not matter quite as much because of all that's going on. That said, the results do still matter. And the best case scenario would be to get through this season relatively unscathed and have positive results. Now, the Big Ten has already incurred a couple of body blows here from COVID. The SEC is beyond on the ropes. This thing is, it is debatable whether this is working, but they will keep playing on. And, you know, as long as you're playing, you want to win. And, you know, so far so good for Purdue being 2-0 and in the best case scenario, 3-0 after this weekend and looking pretty good in the Big Ten West.
Yeah, Purdue 2-0, but I think we both feel like the Boilermakers have gotten there without playing their best football, right? I mean, you can look at each one of the first two games and feel like there were areas in which maybe the game should not have been as close as what they were. And, you know, Purdue didn't take advantage of a couple of things, particularly in the Illinois game, I think, that really could have made that game a runaway, and you would feel even better about how Purdue has been.
Yeah, I mean, I thought Purdue was good against Iowa. I don't know if they were perfect. I thought the defense was really good for their first time out. Against Illinois, I think the defense took a little bit of a step backward. What all went into that, I don't really know. Obviously, not having George Karlaftis for half the game was not helpful. But, you know, I think it's reasonable to suggest that consistency was something that, you know, that they were going to have to work toward from a defensive perspective. I think offensively, I think Aiden O'Connell was a lot better against Illinois than he was against Iowa. That being said, he was good enough to win against Iowa. I think you're still down some important pieces here too. So that represents upside. I think the more experience Purdue gets in this new defense, the prospect of getting Rondell Moore back, the prospect of getting King Daru back, you've already taken a couple hits on your offensive line that probably aren't coming back anytime soon. We'll see about George Karlaftis, but I think Purdue can get better with experience here too. And I think that's important. I think the offensive line, the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball has been pretty good. And that's been a very positive development early. It comes down to kind of consistency now. And as the games get, more and more, I guess, important, it'll be interesting to see how Purdue holds up. But I think they've been good enough to win so far. Certainly not perfect, but I think good enough to suggest that they're capable of having a pretty solid season here.
Certainly nice to be talking a little bit of football. Certainly nice to be talking a little bit of football, but it involves a big game with Purdue and Northwestern on Saturday. Thanks, Brian.
No problem.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We'll talk to Alan Karpik about the Big Ten and get his historical thoughts as well on Purdue and Northwestern. That's coming up next on Golden Black Radio.
Golden Black Radio is brought to you by Home Field Apparel. Home Field makes premium collegiate apparel with vintage Purdue designs with incredibly soft and comfortable clothing printed and owned in Indianapolis. That's homefieldapparel.com for your premium Purdue apparel with vintage designs. Check it out today. This podcast is brought to you in part by JFQ Lending. With interest rates below 3%, there has never been a better time to lock in a low fixed interest rate on your mortgage. You'll never need to think about refinancing again. Sit it and forget it. And with JFQ Lending, you're guaranteed to get the highest level of customer service. They have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and more than 3,000 five-star reviews. Give Kyler Compliment a call today at 323-607-8802 or email Kyler directly at kkoppelman, that's K-K-O-P-P-E-L-M-A-N, at jfqlending.com. JFQ Lending Incorporated, Equal Access Lender, licensed in more than 40 states, www.jfqlending.com. Gridiron Metalworks is your go-to for grill grates and griddles and home and office decor branded to your favorite team, Purdue. Browse the designs that incorporate Purdue's logo and the Boilermaker Special in stainless or carbon steel, as well as other outdoor goods such as planters, flower pots, and fire pits. This is your solution for the hard-to-shop and even featured on Purdue alum Brian Cardinal's grill. Visit gridironmetal.com.
What else is going on around the league? Let's take a look. It's the Big Ten Roundup.
Let's bring in Alan Karpik, talk a little bit of Big Ten football and the Big Ten Roundup in week four. It's sort of hard to figure out which week is which because some teams are playing, some are not. But at least a majority here in the Big Ten are playing this week. Let's pull out three games aside from Purdue and Northwestern to talk a little bit about. And the first one we'll chat about, Al, is the Friday night primetime game, 7 o'clock, Iowa and Minnesota. These have been a couple of disappointing teams, I think, in the Big Ten West, a Big Ten West that sort of, at least to some, feels like it's a little upside down. But Iowa on the road, favored by 3.5 points. Minnesota's defense has been really bad, almost shockingly bad, I think, through the first few weeks of the season. This will be a really interesting game to see, you know, which one of these two teams salvages its year, because the loser at 1-3, man, it's a pretty big disappointment.
Yeah, no question. In Minnesota has been an enigma. They obviously, you know, beat a bad Illinois team, yeah, it's a hard one to figure out. And I look at it from a Purdue perspective, is what frame of mind do you want Minnesota in when you play them a week from Friday, so a week from today. So that's just I'm a little surprised Iowa's a favorite, but then again, I keep thinking home and road doesn't really matter. And maybe that's it. Iowa, it should be slightly better, I guess. And I still am not a fully – bought into what Minnesota was last year. They had a huge win against Penn State that helped their season a great deal, but they also got brought down to earth a little bit down the stretch.
At noon on Saturday, Indiana travels to East Lansing to take on Michigan State. The Hoosiers ranked number 10 in the whole darn country, and they are a 7-point favorite against Michigan State. This is the definition, Alan, of trap game, right? I mean, this is it, because Indiana has Ohio State next week. You know, you might be thinking ahead to a couple of undefeated teams, though I think Indiana might not be ready for that playground as of yet. But to me, this game has danger written on it a little bit for Indiana, although the Hoosiers have been good through 3 weeks.
Well, I think in a COVID world, anything, you know, your ability to focus week to week is the determining factor. Indiana's been able to do that. I know that their winning records of their opposition isn't all that good, but Indiana beat those teams too. So that was part of it. Yeah, I the 7 points is itch. I have no frame of reference because I don't know what we'll see from Michigan State. You know, Michigan State is good enough to beat Michigan at home, but is Michigan any good? Indiana handled Michigan easily. I'm not betting against Indiana right now. They're really good defensively. You've talked about their secondary being one of the best, and Michael Penix is an elite player. They can do it all. They appear to be able to do it all, and I think they get through up in a win up at East Lansing.
Yeah. All right. What do you want? You want Illinois, Rutgers, Penn State, Nebraska? No. Let's talk a little bit of Wisconsin and Michigan. The Badgers in that game at 7:30 on Saturday in Ann Arbor. The Badgers ranked number 13, though they've only played the one game, and it's been a couple of weeks. Michigan has lost a couple of games in a row, including at Indiana last weekend, 1-2. The Badgers favored by 4.5. For Wisconsin, I mean, there's a lot of unknowns here still, right? Coming off a couple of weeks in which not only have you not played, but I would have to imagine that you haven't really practiced a whole lot either. So this for Wisconsin will be sort of a strange game, I think.
Yeah, when your quarterbacks haven't played, and it's just going to be an interesting timing game. I think Michigan, I wouldn't bet against Michigan this one just because their backs are against the wall. This is a talented team that's, again, in COVID world, has fallen apart here the last couple of weeks, it appears. But, you know, this is an impossible game to predict just because of the situations of the two teams coming in. But I'm going to give Michigan at least an ability to cover that one. I just think Wisconsin, having not played for a couple of weeks, as good as the Badgers look against a bad Illinois team, I'll give them the slight edge.
That's a Big Ten Roundup for week four.
Let's go back in time
With a historical look, here's Alan Karpik.
All right, Al, let's talk a little bit of history with Purdue and Northwestern. They played a couple big games between these two teams. I mean, the one a couple years ago in 2018 was big because, you know, it's a conference game to open the season in prime time. It just had that feel again of one for Purdue that if it got off to a good start, it could really boost that team. Of course, Purdue loses that game. But there have been a couple others, right, in this series?
Yeah, I mean, and certainly the game in 18, you will remember for Rondale Moore setting what the all-purpose yardage record literally almost in the first half. And it was a big game because there was so much anticipation the Thursday night, et cetera. And, you know, these are two programs that have been, to be very honest, at the bottom half of the Big Ten or the middle at best. And that's why there haven't been games of great conference consequence. But you go back to 2000, Northwestern was 3-0. Damian Anderson, the great running back for Northwestern, Purdue shut him down and beats Northwestern after coming back and beating Michigan the week before and starts the Boilermakers October march to the Rose Bowl and really beat Northwestern relatively easy that game. Drew Brees had a huge game and Purdue beat the Wildcats, who ended up winning a share of the Big Ten title that year, if you'll recall, with the Boilermakers in Michigan. So that is, and you go back and I'm doing a little story in the 1931 game. That was a couple of years before you were born, but a game that was played as a postseason game, an add-on game for all those struggling in the Depression. Purdue wins that game 7-0. There were a couple games in the 50s, late 50s, when Northwestern was pretty good, but not maybe anything of a potential conference championship or at least division championship consequence like you might see on Saturday night.
So Purdue also with a chance on Saturday to get to 3-0 in the Big Ten. That has happened before, though it has not happened very recently for the Boilermakers.
Yeah, 2003, that very good team when that senior group with Stuart Schweigert, Sean Phillips, et cetera, was 3-0 to start the league that year. Then, you know, go back to 97 with Joe Tiller's first year, 1984, Jim Everett, 1980 and 1978. All teams that did obviously pretty well. The 84 team under Everett was a surprise, certainly. The 80 team and the 78 team under Jim Young and Mark Herman at quarterback, very good Purdue team. So Purdue would be in rare territory for its program if it can get to 3-0 with a win on Saturday. I keep saying Saturday night. It's really late Saturday afternoon when that game starts against the Wildcats. But, I guess we're going to go at the end of this. Kyle, are we going to put asterisks by everything this year? Who knows? But it would give Purdue a 3-0 start, and that is a rarity. You are correct in that assumption.
That's a historical view of Purdue and Northwestern with Alan Karpik. Thanks, Al.
All right. Thanks, Kyle.
And we'll come back with Tom Dienhart here in just a moment. We'll talk a little bit more Purdue and Northwestern. That's next on Golden Black Radio.
Purdue football is back, and it's time to put your best game face on. Nobody has a better selection of Purdue apparel in stock than Follett's. Visit the Black and Gold Mine store across from Mackey, or Follett's Purdue West on State Street for the best game day apparel from Nike Sideline Gear, Tommy Bahama, Peter Millar, Columbia, Champion, Cutter and Buck, and more. Show your team spirit for the most anticipated season in years. Shop online at FollettsPurdue.com. Follett's has been your Purdue game day stop since 1945.
If you're looking to list or buy a home in Greater Lafayette, Tippecanoe County, or the surrounding counties, give me a call at 765-412-5217 or email at kyle@chartersteam.com. Part of the Charters team at RE/MAX Ability Plus, we can offer a specialized marketing plan with photos, video tours, and more to help you sell your house while getting you in your next dream home. Contact me at kyle@chartersteam.com. On the far end of Main Street in downtown Lafayette, you'll find East End Grill. Industrial and classic, the restaurant is built like a steakhouse but handles like a bistro. East End Grill's menu includes creative starters, simple chopped salads, burgers, fresh fish and steaks, and the signature shrimp and grits. The staff prepares every item from scratch and emphasizes simple meals that incorporate fresh, local, and seasonal ingredients. A warm and inviting dining room features a cozy bar that includes a great selection of craft beer, inspired cocktails, and a robust and expanding wine list. Whatever your entertainment needs are, a cocktail at the bar, dinner with family, or a special event at the private dining room, the energized and attentive staff is here for you. East End Grill in downtown Lafayette, welcome to our table.
Often, things are worth more than they seem. For Purdue grad and NASA astronaut Jerry Ross,
Incredible value was found in the Purdue Alumni Visa, not just because of the exclusive Purdue card designs, but for the unlimited cash back and out-of-this-world Visa benefits. Discover the official Purdue Alumni Visa credit card. Apply today at PurdueFed.com. Purdue Federal Credit Union. Belong where you have worth. Federally insured by NCUA.
Broadcasting from Golden Black World Headquarters, north of Purdue's campus, this is the Golden Black Radio Pregame Show.
Kyle back with Tom, talking a little bit of Purdue Northwestern, the matchups that we're going to be looking at on Saturday. Here's one of the big ones for me, Tom, is Purdue's offense, its ability to hold on to the ball against a defense in Northwestern that has been very opportunistic. What is it? They have seven interceptions, is it, this season? Seven or eight, second place in the Big Ten. I think all of last year, I was reading earlier, they had five or six picks for the whole season last year. It's been a group in the Wildcats that, you know, has had an ability, especially in the second half. I think a majority of their turnovers have come in the second half, and that's a reason why they're not giving up points. But for Purdue to win the game on Saturday, it's going to have to hold on to the ball, not allow Northwestern some extra possessions, and then obviously, you know, be able to score a little bit in the second half.
Yeah, you're exactly right, Kyle. That Northwestern defense has been opportunistic, and I believe they already have more interceptions this year than they did the entire season in 2019, Kyle. Of course, Northwestern went from the penthouse to the outhouse from 18 to 19. So, yeah, generating turnovers has been a big reason why they've been able to start 3-0 this year. You know, Kyle, for me, I'm going to stay on that offense, defense, Purdue offense, Northwestern defense matchup preview, and again, get back to the Purdue ground game. Time and again, Jeff Rom talked about the emphasis that the team placed on being able to run the football better this year. They spent a lot of time in the offseason working on it, and boy, they're going to be tested this week against the Northwestern defense. That's number three in the Big Ten against the run. And while the Purdue offense has done better running the football, Kyle, statistically, still doesn't look very good. They've had some issues in those same third and shorts and fourth and shorts we've seen, trying to get that one tough yard and to get a push. Hasn't always been there. And Kyle, if they cannot run the football, you know there's going to be issues. Any offense that can run the football is going to struggle. And for Purdue to succeed, that offensive line is going to have to get a push and give some balance to Purdue's offense so Aiden O'Connell can find time to distribute the ball to that great fleet of wide receivers.
We did not mention King Doru earlier, but, man, he has been missed. I mean, it's been great to see Xander Horvath run the ball the way he has, a couple of 100-yard games, but you really, you know, turn your offense into something that actually has a little bit more balance. You need a secondary guy who can, you know, rush for 30, 40, 50 yards for you, give sort of a change of pace back there as well. And, you know, Purdue missing that right now without Doru, and then apparently without another guy that they just feel comfortable enough with to hand the football to. You do, though, Tom, you mentioned it being a test. You do have to give Purdue's offensive line just a ton of credit. I mean, there is no group that has shown more improvement from last year to this. And maybe it's a little bit of a surprise, too. I think that we expected that unit to be better. I don't think we expected it to take this big a leap forward, especially, you know, when in reality it has been missing two of its starters and had to go with a true freshman and a redshirt freshman in the place of those two, at least slightly more veteran guys.
Yeah, a lot more depth this year. You talked about that. They've played, I think, 10 offensive linemen through two games, if you can believe it. And they've held up well. They've rotated a lot of guys. And that depth has already paid off because, like you said, Kyle, they've already had some injuries they've had to deal with at center and left guard. And Gus Hartwig, the true freshman, is now the center, with Sam Garvin apparently out. Of course, Cam Craig, we were told this week, the starting left guard, he's going to be out for the rest of the year after getting hurt in the opener. Spencer Holstead, a redshirt freshman, stepped in there. So, yeah, the depth is already being tested. And I think Jeff and Dale Williams, the O-line coach, have been pleased so far, Kyle. Again, statistically, Purdue right now is just 12th in the Big Ten when it comes to rushing the ball, averaging just 94 yards a game with only one rushing touchdown. But you know what? Back to King Doru. Yeah, it certainly would help if he can get back on the field, Kyle. It's supposed to be a hamstring injury. Haven't seen him yet this year. Xander Horvath is the only running back on Purdue's roster who has a carry so far this year. You feel like you're playing with fire there, right? You're hoping he doesn't get hurt. That's where Daru's return would certainly help. But I tell you what, buddy, number 40, Kyle Horvath, number 2 in the Big Ten in rushing this year, certainly has been impressive carrying the load for the Boilermakers these first two games.
Yeah, no doubt about that. All right, who you got on Saturday?
I'm going Boilermakers 24-21. Kyle, I could go either way, though. You know, again, I think this is going to be another fourth quarter game, just like last year's affair in Evanston, which Purdue won on that J.D. Dellinger field goal with 8 seconds left. Could have a similar outcome this year, Kyle. Somebody lining up to kick a field goal to win the game late. Again, I just like Purdue's sense of urgency at home with this offense. Aiden O'Connell's continued maturity. I don't think Northwestern's going to be able to score enough points to beat Purdue Saturday afternoon in Ross-Ade Stadium.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what you just said. I just feel like there's still a little bit more for Purdue's offense. And even though Northwestern's defense is good, I think we can see a little bit more consistency out of the Boilermakers, especially, you know, if Rondell Moore gets back out there, just the element that adds. Purdue's not getting a whole lot of production from its slot receiver, which is a little bit surprising. He obviously would add a huge element to that. We'll see. But even if he's not out there, I think Purdue has enough offensively. It makes a little bit of improvements. And I think the Boilermakers get this one by a final of 27-21. But it's close. You know, it could go any way, either way. It's going to come, you know, a couple of pretty well matched up teams. And man, it'd be crazy to be 3-0, wouldn't it? And suddenly be atop the Big Ten West. I mean, Wisconsin would be lurking there too, though, you know, having only played a couple of games. But man, how about that?
Yeah, Wisconsin's got to play in Michigan this weekend, so who knows what happens up there in Ann Arbor. What are the Badgers going to look like after being off 2 weeks? But you're right, Kyle. Purdue comes out of Saturday 3-0 on top of the Big Ten West, headed to Minnesota for a Friday night game next week. Again, the possibilities seem endless for a Boilermaker team that so far has exceeded expectations and certainly has the fan base very excited.
Just those dark clouds of COVID feels like they're lingering over us. Hopefully we'll be able to stave those off. We won't talk about it. Let's just ignore it for now until we really get into it. Hey, Tom, appreciate it.
Take care, buddy.
All right, that'll do it for our show for this week. Thanks to our sponsors, as always. For Tom Deanhart, Brian Newbern, and Alan Krupik, I'm Kyle Charters. Thanks for listening. This is Golden Black Radio.